Love God. Lift God. Lift other God.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 is where we're starting today. We've been in a series called Prayer Changes Everything. And this is coming from a place of, as your pastor, of wanting to build disciples that know how to pray. And I want to encourage you to go back and listen to those messages we started in the beginning of January. And we're continuing in February. And somebody was saying, when is this series over? See, I want to be careful about that. Because in the American church today, we deal with church like it's a TV show. Like, okay, we're in this series, but I can't wait till this is over so we can get into another series. But the problem is we're not getting the truth of this series because we're just trying to get information and then go to the next thing and da-da-da. And I really don't want that to be the case for us here at Elevate Life Church. Because I'm not preaching these things just to give you stuff to, you know, check off on your list. This is the word of God coming from heaven for the house, I believe. And I believe one of the missing ingredients that we all have in our lives is a strong prayer life. And it is really the air that we breathe is prayer. The thing that dictates if we're a successful Christian or not is our connection to God. We've got to be very careful that we don't make Christianity a religion, right? We hear it all the time. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. But many times in the Western church, we make Christianity a religion. And what is a religion? A religion is something that you do on the side, but it never infiltrates who you are, okay? It becomes a series of things you do. I go to church, I give my tithe, I do this, I do that, and that is why I'm a Christian. But Christianity is about God dying on the cross for your sins so that you, come on, so that you can have relationship with God, and not only relationship, but adoption into the family of God. And so what every father wants is relationship with his kids. You say, well, my father don't want that. Well, he's not a father. He was a sperm donor. Can y'all handle that this morning? Because what every father wants is relationship with his kids. Amen? Every single father wants that. All right. And so that's what God wants from us. And where does relationship take place? It takes place in the place of prayer. All right. So let's start with that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, let me take you over to Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxious is where we get the word anxiety, which is on the rise in America today. It's on the rise in the church today. But look what the Bible says. So don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says this: never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God, for your word. We thank you that we can gather together with the saints. Lord, it is your will that we come together. You said, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And Lord, later on, we will enjoy a football game and we will eat good food and we will enjoy fellowship. But today, right now, Father, let us enjoy fellowship with your word. And Father, I ask that we would all lean in and hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So I just gave you four scriptures right here from the New Testament that share about what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. Colossians says, devote yourselves to prayer. Romans 12 says, be faithful in prayer. Philippians says, don't be anxious, but pray about everything. And then we see in 1 Thessalonians, never stop praying. The word's very clear as Christians that a characteristic that we're supposed to have is a prayer life. We're supposed to be known as people that pray. Now, I've been pastoring for 30 years, and I've traveled a lot around the country and around the world. And one thing that I find that Christians struggle with is prayer. I want you to catch this today. I don't want you to be on your Instagrams. I don't want you to be on your Facebooks. Come on, give your social media a break for a little while and hear what the Spirit of God would say to you today. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to keep you accountable. I'm going to keep you accountable. What that means is if you see them jump on an app, give them a good strong elbow. I know I'm going to start a fight in here one of these days. I know I am. Because I want you to catch this, because this is an area that I believe we're deficient in Western Christianity. Now, I say Western Christianity because when I travel, the rest of the world seems to understand prayer. When I've gone to Africa, those African Christians can pray heaven down. And they're not shy about it. When I go to Asia, and I've seen in person, and I've seen videos of when Dr. Cho had the world's largest church, and they would pray. They would have to ring a bell to get the people to stop praying. That's how strong and loud and forceful their prayer was. I've been to Asia. I've been to Malaysia. When I go there and I say, hey, let's pray over these requests, there's a sound that comes up from the house. There's a sound of prayer, because in other parts of the world, people understand prayer. In America, we don't have a good, strong understanding of prayer. And it could be that is why we see less miracles in our nation, why we experience less of the power of God than many of these other nations. And so you might say, well, you know, how does that affect me? Well, yeah, you might not be worried about the world or the country, but how do you get God to do more in your life? Is pray. Listen, if you're a parent and you have kids, my God, you better learn how to pray. If you're a father or a mother and you have kids, you need to know how to get a hold of heaven on behalf of your children. As fathers, many fathers will lay down their lives to make sure that they provide enough money for their kids. Excellent. That's great. But do you know how to pray for them? Do you know how to get a hold of God for them? As mothers, you know how to be that mama bear and take care of them. But do you know how to pray on their behalf? Well, here's your opportunity. Amen. Because the Bible says, devote yourself to prayer, be faithful in prayer, and pray about everything, and never stop praying. First thing I want you to catch this morning is this. The Word of God consistently commands us to be faithful in prayer. This is who you are. So I come to tell you today, who are you? You're a prayer warrior. That's who you are. What does it mean to be a Christian? Christians pray. I say it like this all the time. A bird flies, a fish swims, and Christians pray. That's it. That's what we do. That's how we get down. That's part of our equipment. We pray. And the Word of God tells us that over and over. I just gave you all those scriptures. Pray, pray, make sure you're praying. Hey, don't be worried about COVID, pray. Don't be anxious about your money, pray. That's what the Bible is saying. In everything you do, pray. And you say, well, how are we supposed to do that? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. See, the Word commands us to pray. Then the Holy Spirit comes to assist us in prayer. I want you to catch this. Look at Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness or when we're weak. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. In a nutshell, what that says is the Holy Spirit will pray for you and through you the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. And so the Word, which we know to be Jesus manifested in the flesh, gives us the command. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps you pray if you let him. That's why Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was first sent into the earth, he shows up in the upper room. And the first thing he does for the believers is he gives them a prayer language. First thing he does. I always tripped out on that because I thought, man, of all the things that the Holy Spirit could have gave us, he gave us a prayer language. You know what that tells me? It must be important. Because I would have loved if he would have gave us, come on, the ability to glow in the dark. Come on, somebody. Because then you could be witnessing to your friends and, hey, telling them about Jesus. And then they could go, oh, I don't believe in that. Oh, you don't believe in that? How am I doing this then? You know what I'm saying? He could have gave us a lot of things as a mark of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But see, the Holy Spirit is wiser than you and I. It's sure a few people may get saved by a parlor trick like glowing in the dark. But it's transformation that God's after. And he knows if I could just get the people of God to connect with the heart of the Father, everything will change. Including the person praying. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts chapter 2, he comes in as a rushing mighty wind, fills the house where they were sitting from the top of their head to the bottom of their lungs. Everybody in the place starts praying in tongues. First thing that begins to happen, and they go out on the street. The Bible says they kind of fell out of the upper room, down the steps into the street. And everybody there said, man, these guys are drunk. They've been partying all night. Interesting that the world looked at praying in other tongues, and the only thing they could come up with is these fools are high. These fools are high. Could it be because they weren't anxious no more? They weren't angry no more? They were happy, filled with joy, talking a little crazy. Come on, some of y'all know, when you drink, you talk a little crazy too. When you smoke, you be talking crazy, right? You think you're deep, but you're just talking crazy. How many know those days, right? How many had a friend like that? I always thought he was getting deep. Yo, trip out on this, man. And you're like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. It's interesting that the world compared praying in the spirit and the effects of it to somebody being high. But understand this, that again, the Holy Spirit now comes to assist us in prayer. Why? Because it's important. Because I'll dare to say this, everything you're called to accomplish in life is being balanced on your prayer life. Is this marriage going to work? How's your prayer life? Is my business going to make it? How's your prayer life? Are you tracking with me? Because remember, we're talking about prayer changes things, changes everything. Are you going to make it? How's your prayer life? It all is built upon our connection with God. That's what this whole thing is built on. Connecting with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says this, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Y'all see that? Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Praying in the Holy Spirit needs to be a part of your walk with God. It needs to be a part of your spiritual experience. And some Christians, right, have been saved a very long time and have never yet experienced that in their lives. And much of that is because they haven't wanted it. Well, I don't know about that praying in tongues. I don't know about that praying in the Holy Ghost. That seems weird. Listen, you've done a lot of things that seemed weird at first. Oh, come on, somebody. You've done a whole mess of stuff that seemed weird at first, and then the next thing you know, you're doing it over and over and over again. How many would say amen to that? Come on, you in the house of God, don't lie. Why do people put needles in their arms? Talk about weird. And by somebody that's not a doctor. You're going to let Jorge right here stick you with a needle? Jorge, if you're here, sorry, man, but man. You're going to let this dude, you're going to smoke this little white substance? That's weird. In a glass pipe? That's weird. But now you saved. And now you want to be careful. Come on, smile at me. You tried whatever you could get your hands on when you were in the world. But now when it comes to, oh, I don't know about all that. That's why we got to listen to his word. Amen. And I came to a conclusion right when I got saved. God, if I read it in your word, I want it. I want it. Amen? Amen. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he says, pray in the word of God tells us, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. So here's what I want to submit to you. Praying in the Holy Spirit should be a part of your walk with God. Should be a part of your prayer time with God. So we've seen here the Word of God commands us to be faithful in prayer. The Holy Spirit then comes to assist us in prayer. So now we have no excuse. So he takes away those excuses. The Word tells you to pray. Tells you it's the will of God you pray. The Holy Spirit comes and says, I'll help you pray. So the third thing it comes down to is this. Now we've got to discipline ourselves to pray. That's it. That's it. We can't say any longer, oh, I didn't know. I gave you five scriptures. You're supposed to pray. And you can't say, oh, I just can't. No, 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 no. The Holy Spirit comes and the Bible says he helps you when you're weak. And he'll pray the perfect will of God. No excuses. So now what it comes down to, and this is the part that we all blow it in. We got to discipline ourselves in prayer. This is the part where we blow it, y'all. I've blown it here. You've blown it here. The person you're sitting next to has blown it. The other person you're sitting next to has blown it. And it's not God's fault. And we can't claim ignorance. And we can't claim busyness. It comes down to a lack of discipline. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. You can just write these down. I don't have time to go into all these. It says this. It commands us. I think that's that other mic. I hope. Galatians 5, 25 says, crucify your flesh. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That daily, we've got to make sure that we're not letting our flesh drive the train. By the train, we mean your life. Because if you let your flesh drive the train, the flesh only wants to do a few things. And I've told you these few things over and over. All the flesh wants to do is sleep, eat, have sex, and be entertained. And that's some people's lives. That's all they want to do. That's why they can't hold a job. Just look straight ahead. It's all right. That's our flesh. That's our flesh. That's all it wants to do. So if you let it drive the train, your life will just be centered around those things. You look at your checkbook and all your money will be going to those things. That's it. All your time will go into those things. So we can't let our flesh drive the train. We've got to learn to put the Spirit in the front. Our spirit is to be the engine to the train. Now, if you leave it up to your flesh, you'll never pray. You'll never pray. Because praying is not entertaining. It's definitely not eating or sleeping. And it's definitely not having sex. Don't even go there with that. You see what I'm saying? So that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that the spirit and the flesh are constantly at war. Constantly at war, okay? Now, let me just say this about those fleshly things. Those fleshly things are not all evil. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Eating and sleeping is not evil. Having sex is not evil. Somebody need to hear that. It's not evil. It has its place. And being entertained is not evil. It just should not be at the front of the train. It should be a part of the train. How many realize those things have their place? But here's the thing. In order to put your spirit man at the front of your life, driving those things, Galatians tells us you better crucify that flesh. You better put that flesh in its proper place, which means that you've got to, as it says there, crucify it. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, you can just write it down. It says this, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Again, it says, don't let your flesh just drive you crazy. Pull the train. It has to be in its proper place. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 16, 24, take up your cross. If you do not take up your cross, you cannot follow me and be my disciple. Which tells me this, I got to do some hard stuff. But Christians in America today don't want to do anything hard. And that's when we start getting into, well, I don't agree with that. You what? You don't agree with Scripture? You don't agree with Jesus's word? I'm sorry, then you can't be a disciple. You just can't. Because that's not what the Word of God tells us to do. The Word of God is very clear that we need to follow Jesus. He doesn't follow us. And so we must take up our cross. What does that mean? Well, Jesus took up his cross and he crucified his wants, his needs, his very life to have eternal life. Now, he did that so that we don't have to. Yet, we still have to take up our cross. And if we break that down to what that means every day, you know what that means? It means giving God a portion of time every day to spend with him. This is what we call a prayer life. And Jesus himself, God the Father himself, this morning is inviting you to a time of prayer. Because how long are you going to continue to make excuses for not spending time with God? How long are you going to do that? Come on, would you date somebody that never wanted to spend time with you? Some of you have. Amen. Well, praise God. Ouch. Ouch. You shouldn't want to date somebody that don't want to spend time with you. You shouldn't want to hang out with folks that don't want to hang out with you. Yet, that is kind of how we treat God at the end of the day. So here's what we're going to do, folks. Y'all ready for this? We're going to fix it. Amen. Amen? Amen? How many of y'all want to fix it? Now, there's two groups. There's three groups of us here today. There's some of us that really don't have a prayer life. The only time you pray is maybe over your food, if you're not too hungry. You know how we do when we're real hungry. Come on, you know, sometimes it's, oh, this looks so good. And then someone's like, hey, 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 we got to pray. And you're like, oh, sorry. Come on, I've done that. I've done that. You've done that. But there's some of us, we only pray maybe over our food, maybe at church. Okay? And so we really don't have a prayer life. Others of us have a prayer life, but it's very weak and it's very inconsistent. Right? And it's like we pray and we try to make time, and sometimes we get to it, sometimes we don't, but we'll go a week and we'll at least pray two or three times, you know. But does it do anything? Maybe you don't feel the results of it. Maybe you don't feel the connection of it. Maybe it's just kind of the thing you do. That's the second group of us. And then the third group of us, you have a prayer life and it's consistent and you've been disciplined in it. But you realize I could go deeper in it. So wherever you're at in those areas, we're going to help you with this today. How many want to fix these things? Amen. How many want to see God move in your life? Amen. How many want to see God's blessing flow in your life? Amen. All right. So let me give you what the word discipline means. Because remember, Jesus didn't call us Christians. That word didn't come till later on, hundreds of years later. He didn't call us believers. He called his followers disciples. These are my disciples. That word disciple comes from the word disciplined. He basically would say, these are my disciplined ones. They're disciplined in the things I've taught them. Now look at this. The word discipline means this in the word of God. It means to instruct, correct, chastise, or rebuke. It means to train. That's what that word means. You say, what does it have to do with discipline? Well, before you can discipline anybody else, you must discipline yourself. Instruct yourself. Correct yourself. And even to a degree, chastise yourself. You know what that means? Chastise. That means like take something away. I'm going to have to train my flesh. I'm going to have to teach it to do the right thing. I'm going to have to give the reins over to the Spirit of God to help me train my flesh to pray. I'm going to teach my brain, my mind, to quit making excuses. This is what discipline was. And Jesus said, my followers, these are my disciplined ones. It's who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. We've got to be powerful enough before we can go change our community, our family, our neighborhood, our nation, or the nations. The first thing we've got to begin to do is we've got to first change ourselves. And here's the problem. This is where we miss it. This is where we get too proud. We first always start taking on things that God has given us, and we try to do it ourselves. We step out and we go, oh, I'm gonna make these changes. I'm gonna do it myself. And we white knuckle it through everything. When Jesus says it doesn't work that way. If you allow me to, I'll help you. If you'll allow me to, it's through prayer that you're gonna win the battles that you're facing. And so many Christians, they'll be Christians 2-3 years and never develop a prayer life. And they're fighting all these battles that if they'll just learn to pray, God then takes on those battles. Can I get an amen? See, you're trying to stop sleeping around. Got real quiet in here. Uh-oh. You're over here trying to stop lusting. You're over here, I'm going to stop cussing. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get my stuff together. I'm going to train my tongue. And the Holy Spirit's just going, man, if you just learn to pray, I'll take all that stuff away. But God, I just want to serve you, man. But, you know, I just can't stop having sex with my girlfriend. If you just learn to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you when you're weak, is what Romans says. And so we try to do stuff on our own without prayer. And this is why we fail. We've got to get back to who we are. Tell your neighbor next to you, I'm a disciple. You're a disciple. See, but what we've done is we've made just believing who we are. We're believers. We're Christians. We've taken on an identity. But I like Jesus' identity for us much better. His identity says, I'm a disciplined one. Amen? And the first thing we need to do as a disciplined one is build a prayer life. So I got about 10 minutes left with you. Can I give you some practical things to do? How many like practical things? Because I could tell you, you need a prayer life all day. And you're just like, great, how do I do that? I've tried, it's lame, I don't like it. You know, let's go after some practical things. Can I give you some practical things? All right, practical ways to build a prayer life. Y'all ready for this? Can we get a drum roll? That's kind of weak, but thank y'all over here. Y'all left me hanging over here, okay? All right, cut. Number one, first thing you need to do to build a prayer life is set a time to meet with God every day. Set a time. Set a time. Tell your neighbor, set a time. Set a time. You know why you fail most of the times in prayer? Because you wait until there's time. You're like, ooh, I'm going to pray if I have time later. Guess what the devil's got to do? Fill up your time. Just when you're about to pray, you get that phone call. And your crazy nephew, crazy aunt, crazy whoever is calling you, and they're throwing drama all over you. And you just participating in the drama. By the time you get off the phone, your mind is not thinking about prayer. Your mind's thinking about drama. And guess what happens? Prayer doesn't happen. Some of you just think, well, you know, you put it off till later. Well, you know, after work, I'm going to pray. But then what happens at work? You hecka tired. Had the toughest day of your life. So you go home and you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray. You lay on the bed. You don't pray, you sleep. How many have ever had those things happen before? All the time. If you're going to build prayer life, if you're going to build a prayer life, you need to set a time to meet with God and keep it. I want you to understand this logic. Everything that's important has an appointment. Everything in your life that's important has an appointed time to it. You ever make a doctor's appointment? You ever call the doctor? You say, doctor, I need to see you. He doesn't just say, oh, come over when you got some time. That never happens. Because it's an important thing, right? So he tells you, be here at 10. Be here at 11. Be here at 9. It's a doctor's appointment. How many of you know your kids got to be at school at an appointed time? Not 9:15, 9. Because you got a hangover. I feel bad for your kids, man, getting them to school late every day. You need Jesus. You really need Jesus. Baseball practice starts at 3, not 3:15. Coach doesn't say, hey, whenever you feel like it, just come over to the field. How many know that doesn't happen, parents? That kid will not play. That practice is from 3 to 5. That's it. If you want your kid to be in baseball, he needs to be there 3 to 5. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're going on a date and you tell somebody you're picking them up at 6, don't show up at 7. You ain't taking my daughter out like that. You missed your appointed time, son. You told her 6, you showed up at 7. She ain't the one. Door slam. Because everything important has an appointed time. Think about your life. Everything you want to do that's important has an appointed time. Yet you treat God like, oh, when I get to it. Oh, yeah, well, after work, if you know, I'm going to pray then. And oh, I'm going to wake up early tomorrow. And listen, until you write it down in a book, appointment book, put it on the refrigerator, put it somewhere. I have an appointment with God tomorrow. Amen? Amen. See, you may be listening to this and going, oh, you know, that sounds great. Try it. Try it. Make an appointment with God and stick to it. Treat it like an appointment with your boss, with your doctor. Okay? Treat it like it's gymnastics practice or baseball practice. I got to be here at this time. Because you know what that shows? It shows God that you believe he's important. Amen? Amen. Trying to help somebody today. I told you this is practical. This is practical. If you're looking for something real deep and, oh, you're going to miss this. But it's the details that are going to make the difference. And if you really want a prayer life, you need to treat God like he's important. And it starts with setting a time to meet with him. Now, there are people that would tell you you need to pray in the morning. There are people that would tell you you should pray at night. It don't matter when you pray, just pray. Because we always get those people that ain't morning people. How many know what I'm talking about? You are not a morning person. You don't just need coffee, you need deliverance in the mornings. You wake up mean, angry. How many know what I'm talking about? If you're married to them, just look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead. Blink 3 times. We'll know you need some help after service. Because some people, oh, I'm just not a morning person. No, you more than not a morning person. You're like Dracula getting woken up out the coffin. Ah! So maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you're one of those people. Don't pray in the morning. To start out, don't pray in the morning. Pray later on. Pray at lunch. Pray in the evening. But set a time to meet with God. Is this helping anybody today? Our examples are this. Jesus prayed in the morning. That's when he prayed. The priest in the Old Testament set a time of prayer in the mornings and in the evening. Jesus oftentimes, it shows us, had a time where he went out before the sun came up and he prayed. Number 2, after you set a time to meet with God, you ready for this one? Set a place. Set a place to meet with God. This is so important, okay? It's so important that you have a place that you meet with God. Because there is a place for everything important. How many know that? There's a place for everything important, especially when it comes to intimacy. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, when a married couple is going to be intimate, how many of you know there's a place for that? Well, don't look at me like y'all don't know that. Do I need to teach this? We need to start the marriage conference right now? The place for intimacy ain't the kitchen. It ain't the living room. All the freaky people right now looking at me like, what? The place for intimacy is the bedroom, where you could shut the door, and not just shut the door, lock that joker. Little Junior don't need to be coming in there when you, how many know what I'm talking about? Intimacy has a place. And how many know when you're being intimate, there's a place for that. See, some of us don't have intimacy with God because you never make a time and you never set a place. Put some effort into your meetings with God. Put some effort into it, all right? When every place in my life, I have a memory of where I go to spend time with God. I could tell you where I was when God spoke to me about my relationship with Pastor Tina when we were dating. I used to go out to this area where they were building houses something happened in the economy in that area, so they stopped. So they had all these roads that were set up for a neighborhood, but there were no houses out there. So I would go out there at the time of about sunset, and I would park my car, put my worship on, and just lay on the hood, and I would just spend time with God. And I remember being there and praying, God, this girl, this Tina, I really like her. Like a lot. But is there something that I'm missing? Is it just my flesh that likes her, God? Will she be able to go with me to the nations? Will she be able to help me do what you've called me to do? I remember the place I was at in those times. Listen, I remember where I was at when God spoke to me about coming to Sacramento. We had a house with a nice walk-in closet. And I used to go in there and spend my time with God on the floor of that closet. I could close the door, it'd be dark in there. I have my little radio thing there. I could put my worship on, and I'd lay on that floor and spend time with God. And I prayed about things that we're doing now in that place. Yeah. Every place I've been, every place I've lived, I've had a place with God. When we lived over by La Riviere, I used to go in the backyard, and we had a big backyard and a covered area, and I would just go out there in my lawn chair, put some worship on, and I'd get those bird feeders for the hummingbirds, and they would come around, and I would just pray out there and just sit back there with my word. And even in the winter, I would get one of them portable heaters. I'd be outside with a portable heater because that was my place to worship and spend time with God. Listen, it was my place of intimacy. Now, I prayed other places, but that was a place where God spoke to me about stuff. Since moving into this church building, I don't live too far from here. So this place has become my place to connect with God. Do you have a place? Do you have a place? If you don't, you need to get one. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor you need to get a place. Number three, all right, almost done here. Number three, the next thing you got to do after you set a time, set a place, you've got to set an atmosphere. You got to set an atmosphere. Put some thought into this time with God. Set an atmosphere. For me, it's always music and dark, and I don't like lights. The reason I don't like lights when I'm praying is because I may be ADHD. I don't know. I never got that diagnosis. But I'm that guy that would be in prayer. Squirrel! I need it dark. Because if it's dark, I don't get distracted. If the lights are on and I'm praying, I'd be like, oh, Lord, Jesus, I just praise you. Wait, I never noticed there was 9 lights in here. Yes, God, I give you glory and honor. And well, then how many beams are in here? That's me. That's how I am. So I set an atmosphere and I just try to get it dark because I'm not distracted. And I like music when it's going because it helps me also keep distractions out. It's not always worship music. I like just atmospheric music or just instrumental. Because if I'm listening to worship, they're singing about things that I'm not praying about. And now it's like they're singing about, you are the champion. And I'm over here just wanting to just pray about, you know, somebody else. And sometimes that distracts me. So I put on some jazz sometimes. And just music that is neutral. That helps me set an atmosphere and I just can pray and go after things and not be distracted. How many know what I'm talking about? Like I said, in Florida, I used to go out during sunset because the Florida sunsets were amazing. And I could just be out there in the different colors of the sky. Just that would be my time with the Lord. The atmosphere, like I told you, when I had that backyard, it was being out there with the nature and stuff, the birds coming around. Set an atmosphere, guys. Put some thought into it. Create a place that you want to go. Yes. See, some of you just go in your dirty room. Come on. Break the Bible open. And it's like, no wonder you don't want to pray. Hey, God don't even want to be in there with you. God's like, nah, I'm cool. Just read your Bible. Just read your Bible. Set an atmosphere, right? Everything important has an atmosphere. There's an atmosphere at your job. You know, when you go into a board meeting, there's an atmosphere. When you go to the doctor, there's an atmosphere. And yet when we just pray, we don't put any thought into those things. And that's many times why it's so weak. When I was in Indonesia one year, they created an entire place there called Prayer Mountain. They modeled it after Tommy Barnett's thing in Phoenix. But I would go there, is where all the Bible college students lived. And there were these little holes in the hill. And they would carve them out and they'd put like this little comfortable mat in there. And you could close the door, you could keep the door open. And you would go there in the mornings and all the Bible college students were in there praying. They were having their time with God in a place with an atmosphere. How much effort are you putting into your time with God? I'm telling you, if you do this, your prayer life will increase. Amen. Amen? Amen? Try meeting with your boss without an atmosphere. He'll say no to everything. You know, that's why you never meet with your boss on your terms. Don't catch him in the hallway. Ooh, this is helping somebody today. Hit him up in the hallway trying to get a raise. You ain't getting that raise. You ain't getting that raise. See, and it's the same type of thing when we're dealing with the Lord. Put some effort into it. So set an atmosphere, amen? Number 4, y'all ready for this? Almost done. Game doesn't start for a few hours. You good. Number 4, bring something to write with or record what God says. Bring something to write with or record. That shows that you're expecting to connect with God. You know what also that says? You're going to let him talk. Because most of our prayer is just us talking, right? God, do this for me. God, help me here. God, all da-da-da-da. God, do this. Help me. Amen. You done. God's like, can I say something? Now, here's the thing. If God says something, you need to write it down. Write it down. That's why I tell you this all the time. You should come to church writing stuff down. Amen. Write it down. Come to church with a pen, a pad. If you're old school, if you got your phone, be on the phone taking notes. Bring your iPad. Do something. Because when God speaks, you should write it down. Because you know what that shows? You think what he says is important. It's the same way when you go to your boss, you got a meeting, everybody in there is writing stuff down. The smart people are anyway. You go into a staff meeting, you better take something to write with. Because it's important what's being said by the boss. And it's important what's being said by God. Every person here should have recorded things that God is speaking to you about in prayer. You should. I have things God has spoken to me about my kids. When they ain't acting right, I get those things out. God, you said. God, you said he was going to be smart. He ain't acting smart right now, God. But I believe your word. I believe your word. How many know what I'm talking about? Write those things down. And number five, the last thing. Stay in God's presence long enough to create a memory. Now, I heard this from a man of God many years ago, and it's always stuck with me. Stay long enough to create a memory with God. I have memories throughout my time with God. Like I just shared with you, where I was when God spoke to me about certain things. I could tell you the room I was in. I could tell you what was going on. You got to create memories with God. Got to create a place where there's a memory, because you'll always, listen, you'll always go back to a memory. Some of you don't even like Disneyland. But you go there because you had a good memory there one time. One time. The rest of the time, it was crying kids. It was, you know, all angry. Happiest place on earth, you angry. But you keep going back because of the memory. Right? That's why I'm a Raider fan. Because I remember when they won. They ain't done it for me in a while, but I remember. And guess what? It keeps me coming back. It keeps me coming back. How many know what I'm talking about? Spend enough time with God to where you're creating memories with him. And you'll always go back to it. But some of you don't have memories because you pray on the fly. You pray on the go. And those are good things, because remember, the Bible says pray all the time. So I'm not saying this is the only time you pray. Pray throughout your day. Pray on your lunch break. Pray all those things. But we're talking about building a prayer life. Put some effort into it, y'all. Put some effort into it. There was a movie that came out about 10 years ago called The War Room. If you haven't seen that, you should check that out. Woman in that thing started a thing where she said, this is my war room, and she would put scriptures up. She'd go into this little closet area and pictures of her kids, pictures of her family, and she'd go in there and she'd do war in prayer for those things in her life. And that kept her going back. It had a place. It had an assignment. Amen? You need to do that if you want a prayer life with God. Is this helping anybody today? Come on, stand on your feet. Amen. Give God a good praise clap today. If I could get some help up here, Diego, thank you. These are real practical things, guys, but I don't want you to take it lightly. I don't want you to take it lightly. Because everything you're needing from the Lord starts in prayer. And the main thing that we're needing from the Lord is connection with him. Connection with him will cause you to be less anxious. And somebody that's less anxious is a better wife, is a better husband, is a better mother, is a better father. Some of you were raised by anxious people, and it was hell. Had a mom that was scared of everything, right? Had a dad that was always stressed out and anxious and comes into the home. What would happen if we would spend time with God like we're supposed to, like we're commanded? What would happen if we take advantage of the gift of the Holy Spirit, whose entire job is to help you when you're weak, connect with God?
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.